One of the darkest descriptions of something that I can think of is one that came from C.S. Lewis's well-known story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. When they talked about the land of Narnia living under the curse of Jadis, the White Witch. Do you remember what they said about that time? To me, it's terrifying. They said, "It is always winter and never Christmas." Now, I don't know how that makes you feel, but that makes me feel awful. That description, it's always winter and never Christmas, is a terrible feeling. And I get that some of you really like winter, but a perpetual one, there's just no way. I had a couple of you, I'm not naming any names in this room, tell me when we first got here, "Hey, you don't have to worry, like it really doesn't get cold around here until after Christmas." And so, you know, me going, okay, just kind of mentally preparing myself, like, all right, you get through Christmas, and then, okay, here comes January. So just got to be prepared. You know, January through March are the hard months. Except it moves into April too, doesn't it? You guys lied to me. It's not January through March. It's, anyway. But winter came early this year, didn't it? Our hometown in Texas has been having 60 and 70 degree weather the last couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to just having a little bit of a break from the cold. I appreciate today and the sunshine we've had the last couple of days, but I have to admit that living here has helped me appreciate Christmas more, because it gives you something to look forward to when you know it starts getting dark so early. It feels like you eat lunch and you know there goes the sun, but you so much miss the warmth of the sun and the daylight, and but always winter and never Christmas. What a terrible reality to have lived in. Well, what I want to talk about tonight is that same situation spiritually. It was what the world was when Jesus arrived. It was the same. So, Christina Rossetti, if you were here on Sunday, hopefully you remember that name. We talked about a Christmas poem that she wrote in the 1800s called "Love Came Down at Christmas," and that was kind of the theme for Sunday. And if you were actually paying attention, you might remember that I said she was pretty famous as a poet, and she had written a poem that was even more well known than that one. Mainly, it's so well known because it was turned into a classic Christmas song, and in fact, it was voted a few years ago by choir masters and all these musical experts. They said it was voted as the greatest Christmas carol of all time. Do you remember what I said that it was? This greatest of all the Christmas carols? You remember? It was "In the Bleak Midwinter." "In the Bleak Midwinter." It's not one that we sing around here very often. But I want to share the poem with you because it has really inspired some thoughts in me this year for Christmas Eve. In fact, I totally changed what I was going to do this week because I just kept thinking about Rossetti and these two poems that have kind of, I don't know, captured me, I guess, the last few weeks. And so, but remember, I told you I'm not very good at poetry, so I'm not going to try to read it because it's actually kind of hard to do. And so I thought, let's just listen to it as we sort of begin our time in this message. So here is the song "In the Bleak Midwinter."
So,
going to do a solo, but I just, you know, decided I'll, that might be easier this way. So, you know, there you go. I really hope that this carol resonates with you. The ground being hard as iron and the snow on snow, I have to admit, it gives me a little bit of anxiety. We've had some of that already this year, where we already had enough snow, but then more snow came on top of that. You know, if you don't have anything to do, it's peaceful and beautiful. But if you got to go out and feed horses, it's a little stressful, right? It's it brings up a feeling in you. I will tell you this: Texans can't appreciate this poem like folks from Northern Illinois can. They know this poem a whole lot better. They've lived it. But there's a simple beauty to the poem and to the song, as it shares a message of hope. You need to know that there are people who have criticized this poem because they would say, well, historically, you know, Rossetti is talking about an English winter, and it's just not accurate to the birth of Jesus. You know, they say, well, Bethlehem wouldn't have had snow on snow, even no matter when Jesus was born, which we're not sure exactly when that was, but there's not snow on snow in Bethlehem. That just doesn't happen, right? The ground doesn't get hard like that. But guess what? Rossetti was brilliant. She came from a brilliant family of professors and universities, and her family was actually from Italy. So she knew something about the climate of Israel. She is not giving a weather report for Bethlehem. What is she doing instead? As you think about snow on snow in this bleak midwinter, what is she doing? She's describing the spiritual condition of the world before Jesus. The whole world was in a bleak midwinter. And in many ways, it still is, isn't it? It's interesting if you look a little bit into the history of Advent and the preparation for Christmas and Christmas Eve. The days before Christmas in the church are actually the darkest of all the church kind of calendar. The traditional celebration of Advent is more somber. It focuses as much on Christ's absence as his presence. The church has said, well, Christ has come in his first Advent, and he will come again with a second Advent. Remember, Advent just means coming, means showing up. That's what Jesus is going to do. And they say, but we exist now in this in-between. In this in-between of his first coming and the second, and we're in still sort of a bleak midwinter. And we would affirm tonight that God is with us in word and in sacrament and in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we experience his presence in numerous ways. Yet, Scripture also uses the language of groaning and yearning and suffering to describe our present situation. You know, just think of Romans 8. As the earth is groaning in verses 22 and 23, awaiting eagerly to be redeemed from the curse. We are looking forward. We're waiting patiently for the final redemption. So tonight, I just want to align ourselves a little bit with that tradition and maybe let our hearts sit in this bleak midwinter for a while in a state of waiting. In the absence of Christ, the world is as bleak as the winter that Rossetti just described. A frozen landscape where nothing grows, and the thirst of water that can't properly be drunk because it's frozen. It's a good description of our spiritual condition before the coming of Christ. And as she works through the poem, as the song goes on, we see the description of this incredible mystery of Jesus, the Son of God, right? He's fully God, he's fully man, he needs nourishment from his mother, and the whole world is awaiting him. And it's truly a beautiful song with good theology and biblical references all throughout it. We're not going to focus on all that tonight. And I hope you've been around the last several weeks as we've gone through our Advent series, and we've talked about the theology of the incarnation and God sending a redeemer and the promises of Scripture of that and God's amazing plan of redemption. But tonight, as we sit in this tension of this waiting of Advent, I just want to reflect on something a little different. Feeling the bleak midwinter of the in-between, of the waiting. I don't have to tell you that life is really hard. It can be so difficult, and even those who know and trust in Jesus, even though we are looking forward to a second coming, the wait in between can just feel like a bleak midwinter. Getting out of bed can be hard. I'm sure we've all felt this way at some point, and I think we probably all do at times if we were honest. And so as I thought about that, I just wanted to briefly give us some encouragement tonight on how to cling to hope. We're not going to spend a ton of time on that, but just this is a message that I think we all need to hear. So this is a message for me. I'm preaching to myself as much as you all. How do we cling to hope in this bleak midwinter that we experience at times? What do we do when in the bleak midwinter is our song, when we don't feel like singing joy to the world? The first thing I want to say is that we go to the Bible. And that's, a simple first step. The Word of God has been the absolute best and maybe, in fact, the only remedy for my heart when it is in despair. And there's no magical, mystical formula of passages to read for a cure. But in it we find the gospel. In his word we find hope. And if you don't know where to start, start with Psalm 34. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." And if that's you in this bleak midwinter, just know that it says he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Second, I would say put truthful content in your ears. The music you listen to matters. I have found good Christian music to be invaluable during my seasons of bleakness. Music based on Scripture is a tool that I have used in times of darkness to keep my thought life in check. Because I can lie to myself. We can all lie to ourselves, and if you're listening to truth, it's a whole lot harder to lie to yourself during at the same time. So stick with truth. The third thing I would say is do something for someone else. The message of the world more and more is that you should never be inconvenienced. You should never inconvenience yourself too much. Right, focus on yourself, focus on your own, mental health and well-being. Prioritize your own boundaries, etc. On and on and on. The list can go for worldly advice on self-care. But I think the more we focus on ourselves, the more miserable we are. That's what I've experienced in my life. When I have felt my lowest, I have found that helping others is the best remedy to getting proper perspective and proper gratitude, getting out of my own head, if you will. Often I have found that serving others can take my focus off of myself, and it proves to bring healing for everyone involved. I think maybe it has something to do with that passage we read on Sunday about loving others because God first loved us. I think there's some life truth to that. Fourth, don't try and go through the bleak midwinter alone. Tell somebody. Talk to them. Ask for prayers. Ask for encouragement. Just know you can lie to yourself. You can tell yourself awful things, and you can lose perspective of truth when you're alone. So having others around you is just so important. Christians were made for community. Churches are supposed to be places where you can find encouragement. So come and do that. Ask for help. Let somebody know how you're doing. Fifth, as the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, in the bleak midwinter, take your anxiety to the Lord. He wants to hear from you. In fact, He has invited us to cast our cares on Him, He says, because He cares for us. And the sixth thing is something we've already done tonight and I think is an important part of what we do when we come together. And that is sing, even if you don't feel like it. And I would even say, especially when you don't feel like it, sing. Sing a song to the Lord. The world would say, consider your own, you know, feelings and then act. But I think, you know, again, the truth tells us that our hearts can be deceitful. Our feelings can't always be trusted. Sing like you mean it, even if you don't feel it. Because I think when we sing, something happens. I think we were made to sing. God's people have always been people of song. I was thinking about Exodus chapter 15, right? After they defeat the Egyptian army, or you know, God has defeated the army for them. It says this in verses 1 and 2. Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Psalm 33:3 says, sing a new song to Him. In Colossians 3:16, we are told, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I don't tend to think about it this way, but the song that you sing can be a powerful weapon against the bleak midwinter. There's a pastor named John Piper. He said this one time. He said, I promise you, singing will bring a new power to your fight of faith. Satan cannot bear the singing of the saints. You can drive him away with song. And don't fall for his lie that you can't sing. Everybody can sing. Nobody, not everybody can perform. Not everybody can lead. Not everybody can read music or stay in the right keys. But everyone can sing to God. Think of Paul and Silas in Acts 16 when you know they were in their prison cell, you know, bound by chains. And it says, about midnight, they were praying and singing songs to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Singing in the hardest of times, that's what Paul and Silas were doing. And we can think of Jesus on the night He was betrayed, and we'll celebrate and remember that here in just a minute. But he knows full well He's about to be abandoned by His friends. He's going to be denied. He's going to suffer a terrible death. He's going to have separation from His Father. But in Matthew 26, it says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. After dinner, they sang a hymn and went to the garden where He was going to be betrayed. He did that. He sang knowing what was coming. It's probably about right now you're thinking to yourself, what an odd Christmas Eve message. I thought the same thing about it myself, but I just keep thinking about how honest the early Christians were during Advent and about living in the midst of hardship, living in a bleak midwinter. How hard it is to wait, how hard it is every single day living in a broken world. Broken friendships, broken relationships, broken promises, disease, sickness, illness, you name it. We see it on TV, just things seem to get bleaker and bleaker. Yesterday, I led a family through a memorial service, a funeral of a loved one. It was difficult, and those things make you think about the realities of the world. But friends, there is hope. We finished our time together with that family, leaning into the promises of Psalm 23. We said together, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Our invitation, our promise, is to not be afraid because Jesus walks with us. Friends, fear not. Jesus is with you. And this is the ultimately joyful and hopeful message of a bleak midwinter. He wants to step into your circumstances with you. He proves it by being born in the humblest of circumstances. The one who created this world came as the least of these so that he could step into your circumstances. He was the one who wasn't afraid to enter this bleak midwinter of this world, a place without hope. And he did that so he could show his love. He did that so he could walk beside us and never leave us. That's his promise. God looked at a bleak world, dark and cold, and he chose to return life to it. Like the coming of Father Christmas in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that brings an end to the endless snow. So the coming of Christ into our world, even into our humanity, it breaks the spell of death. Friends, this Christmas Eve, fear not. Jesus is with you. He proved it as he came into this world, into the humblest of circumstances, to give his life for us that we might have life. So if you're in the bleak midwinter, I'll tell you to rejoice tonight. Friends, rejoice. Rejoice that we no longer live in a world where it is always winter but never Christmas. In fact, Christ has come, and Christ will come again. Jesus is with you, and he is with you forever. That's the good news and the promise this night. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, what a promise that when all seems lost, when things seem hopeless, when the winter is at its coldest and bleakest, you came into the world. You have come, and you have promised you will come again, and we remember both of those things tonight. We remember that love did indeed come down at Christmas as a manifestation, as a proof of your love. We don't ever have to doubt your love again. We can't ever say God doesn't love me because you've proven it. Father, for those who need encouragement this night, who find it so difficult to be in the in-between, in the waiting, Father, would you renew strength? Would you renew our vision, renew our hope? Would you let us rejoice this night because Christ has come? God, turn our hearts to you. In turn, may we love our family and our friends and our all those around us. May we show this incredible love as you have shown it to us. Thank you, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.